Amen. Amen. Yes, and so we continue to look at God's plan, God's perfect plan of salvation. Before we go into the Word, or into the studies this evening, there's a few questions that I want to ask, and we don't all have to know the answers for all of them, but maybe someone here know the answer, and it's for the purpose of us learning together. It's for the purpose of us catching up with each other. You know, we are at different path. We are in different path of the journey in Christendom. Yes, some may be far away from shore, some may be close. You know, we are at different stages in our walk with Christ. And so, iron sharpens iron. So when you answer a question, somebody who doesn't know or who just need to refresh, who just need a refresh in our, you know, will be refreshed in the name of Jesus. All right, so the first question that I would like to ask is coming from the book of, not going to tell you the book that it comes from. Because if I tell you the book, you may get the answer right. I do want you to get the answer right, but the book will, if I tell you the book, it will be too easy. All right, the first one, who was thrown in the den of the of lions? Who was thrown in the den of lions? Daniel. And that's taken from Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16. So he was the one that was thrown into the den of lions. And why was he thrown into the den of lions? Yes, he would not bow. He was so steadfast in his faith, in God, that he refused to let any temptation or any human idols cause him to lose his focus. And so he refused to bow, and he was thrown into the lion's den. But that wasn't the end of his story. That wasn't the end of Daniel's story when he was thrown into the lion's den. His story, a matter of fact, maybe just begun when he's thrown, because God is going to come through for him. God came through for him. Amen. And he was taken out. And the lions, though they were hungry, they could not have devoured him, because God has shut the mouth of the lions. And when he was taken out of the lions, then, can somebody refresh us? Like, tell us what happened when Daniel was taken out of the lions, then. What happened when he was taken out of the lions, then? The same soldiers that chose him, put him in the lions den, are the same, the enemies that spoke against him, they were thrown into the lions den, and the lions devoured them, ate them all up. Amen. So those lions were real lions, and they were hungry lions, but God protect his own. Yes. And how many times, next question, how many times each day did Daniel pray and give thanks to God? Yes, he prayed 3 times. The Bible didn't mention if it was morning, noon, and night, but it was 3 times. Daniel prayed 3 times for the day. Amen. And we are called upon to pray without ceasing. We must live a life of prayer, continually pray. You know, not all the time we're going to get to kneel down and pray. Sometimes we have to sit, sometimes we have to stand. Sometimes it's when we are walking, sometimes it's when we are driving, sometimes it's when we're at work on the job. You know, it's not that you're going to pray out loud. every time you pray. Sometimes it's just within yourself. You know, where only God hears. You know, there are times when you're alone that you need to cry out earnestly from deep within. You need to shout. You know, you need to, the word of God tells us that ever since the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So sometimes we have to get radical. Sometimes there's a real issue that we're going through that it doesn't take any whispering or any simple prayer. It takes a deep contrition, that we have to enter into deep contrition in order to overcome. Amen. Amen. Next question. Who wore camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey? And that's taken from the book of Matthew 3 verse 4. Who wore camel's hair? Yes. Yes. John the Baptist it was. And he was a cousin. He was a cousin of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. Amen. And he wore camel's hair and he ate wild honey. Yes, yes. He ate locusts and wild honey. And next question. Who was born the son of Zachariah and Elizabeth and later lived in the desert? Yes, same John the Baptist. Same John the Baptist. He was born of Elizabeth and Zachariah, and he lived in the desert. You know, and he also baptized Jesus. He was the one who baptized Jesus. And where did he baptize Jesus? In the River Jordan, he baptized Jesus. You know, and yes, and when they ask him of what baptism he baptized, he said that he baptized with water, but there's one coming after that will baptize with fire. Amen. There's one coming after him that will baptize with fire, and his shoes lace he cannot untie. And John the Baptist knows about Jesus' ministry. He know his calling, what he was called to do. He was called as the forerunner of Christ. He came before Christ. He was a forerunner of Christ. And yet when they had him locked up, when the king had John the Baptist locked up, he sent his disciples. That's John the Baptist sent his disciples to find out from Jesus if he is the Messiah, or there is one after him. You know, you see how when we are faced with some difficult situation, how we can get derailed so easily from the purpose. Because this is a man, the cousin of Jesus, who knows about Jesus. He knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, there is one coming after him that will baptize with fire. That's the Holy Ghost. And yet when he was cast into prison, he was in prison. He sent to ask Jesus if he is the one or if there's one coming after him. You know, it's so easy to get, you know, caught off guard. You know, yes, and Jesus. What did Jesus say when John disciples come and ask him? He said that they must go and tell John what they see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. He said, go and tell John what you have seen. You know, when I look at that portion of it, is that in that same very period, John was beheaded. They cut off his head. You know? Yeah, when I look at it and see what unbelief can do and how it can weaken the very called, the very elect. We have to be very careful in our walk. You know, we have to be very careful. Next question. What is the name of the book of the wise saying in the Old Testament? The name of the book of wise saying in the Old Testament. Yes, Proverbs. Proverbs. You know, the book of, there's something with the book of Proverbs, you know. You know, you can just take one verse in the book of Proverbs and it means so much. All you need is just one verse. Just take a verse out of it. One verse. And it stands by itself. Just take a verse out of it. You know. Next question. Name the longest psalm in the Bible and how many verses it has. Yes, Psalm 119. That's the longest psalm in the Bible. And it has some very profound verses in it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. How can a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed to the word of God? It has so many quotable verses in it that we use as Christians to strengthen ourselves. Psalm 119. Yeah, it have 176 verses. 176 verses. Yes. What do we call the first five books of the Old Testament? Yes. Give me another name, somebody. The books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the Torah, are what? In layman's term, what do they call it in layman's term? The first five books? The law. Is the law. Yeah, it's the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, and the law. It's the law. Amen. And what do we, and in the New Testament, what do we call the first, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Yes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is a gospel. Yes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the gospel. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Tells about, it starts with Matthew. Yes. Yes, synoptic. Yes, that means this. Yes, and why do we call them the synoptic gospels? Yes, so you will find the same stories being recorded in the synoptic gospels, the same story is being recorded, feeding of the 5,000. You know, I don't remember quite well, but there's a specific number of stories that are recorded there that they were eyewitness of the event that took place, and they gave their record of it the way they perceive it, the way it doesn't. Word for word, it doesn't, all of them doesn't give it word for word, but they give it from their perspective. They write according to their perspective. So they write according, like Luke would write on a medical side of it, because he was a medical doctor. You know, yes, so it's different. Even though it's the same story, but they give different account of the same story because they look at it from a different perspective. Yes, And then next question, in the New Testament, many books or letters written to people or churches. What is the other name of these letters? Yes. Yes, so the New Testament, like you have the Corinthians, First and Second Corinthians, Philemon, Romans. These are epistles written to churches. You know, like Ephesians, it was written to the church in Ephesus. Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth. You know, and then you have individual letters like Timothy was written to Timothy. Philemon was written to Philemon, and you know. Yes. Yes, so that's a breakdown of the New Testament there. The first, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are the gospel, and three of them out of it synoptic gospels, and the rest are like epistles written to individuals and to churches. Amen. All right, this one is an easy one. After Jesus' resurrection, two of his followers were on the road to what city when Jesus joined them? Two of his followers were on the road to what city? Yes, Emmaus. Two of them were journeying to Emmaus right after the crucifixion. And Jesus joined them in that walk when they were walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus joined them and asking them what were they talking about. What the type of argument that they had was so persuasive and powerful that Jesus said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Where are you?" And they asked Jesus, "Where are you from? Because how comes you don't know what happened in Jerusalem? An innocent man was crucified. You know, how comes you don't know what happened in Jerusalem?" And stuff. And when Jesus followed them home and break bread with them, it was until that time. It was at that time they realized that there are some similarities here with the king who was crucified and this man that is standing there. And then they recognized that he was Jesus. And immediately Jesus exited himself from their presence. And the men, when Jesus left, what did they say? Yes. He said, "Didn't our heart burn within us when Jesus was right there with us? Our heart burned. We feel his presence. We feel his presence. We feel something different when Jesus comes." Yeah, when Jesus comes, the situation must be different. The load must be lifted. You know, whatever load we're carrying must be lifted when Jesus comes. You know, when Jesus comes, the entire atmosphere, he's the atmosphere changer. And when he comes in our midst, it must be a difference. It must be a difference. You cannot walk with Jesus and remain the same. Yeah, you cannot testify of his goodness and you have not been transformed, nor renewed in your mind. There must be a renewness in your mind for you to have a contact. If you come in contact with him any at all, there must be a difference. You must feel his presence. You must feel his presence near you at all times. You know? And yes. And even in his earthly ministry, Jesus, he was any crowd that he went into, he could be well identified because the entire press or the entire crowd, they could feel impacted their lives. You know, wherever Jesus is, impact people's lives. And so we as Jesus followers or his disciples, we are supposed to impact people's life as well. Wherever we go, people are supposed to feel the presence of Jesus in and around us. When we speak, it's supposed to our voice or whatever we say is supposed to be seasoned with salt. It's supposed to be taken as facts, because it is not us anymore, but it is Jesus that reigns and is working his work in and through us. Amen. Yes, so the two disciples were on their way to Emmaus when Jesus joined them and spoke, have a conversation with them. Amen. Yes. Next question. Who picked up 5 smooth stones before a battle with a giant? Yes, David it was. Yeah. Yes, Dave. Yes. David it was that picked up 5 smooth stones. Yes, he picked up 5 smooth stones before he went on a battle with a giant. And can someone remember anything that happens before he picked up that stone? Does anything from that story? We can start off with David. He was a shepherd boy. He was tending his father's sheep. Yes. Yes, he was sent to refresh his brothers that were in the war, and then he arrived with the food, he was asking, What is happening here? As if he's saying, why haven't you win the war as yet? Why haven't you win the battle as yet? You know, why all this confusion? Every morning Goliath would present himself there, and nobody want to attack him. You know? Yes, they were afraid. They were afraid of Goliath because Goliath was so big. Yeah. Yeah. He was so huge. And that means he's hard to miss. If he's so huge and stuff, that means no matter what you use, you will have to hit him because he's hard to miss. He's and stuff. And what did David call Goliath? What did he refer to him as? What did he call him? Because Goliath have a special meaning, you know, a giant and mighty and powerful. Yeah. No, what did David refer to? Amen. Yes, he did not call him by name. He did not call him Goliath, because Goliath means strong and mighty and powerful and whatever. Uncircumcised Philistine. Yeah, he referred to him as an uncircumcised Philistine. He said, why are you so disheartened, so disgruntled over this uncircumcised Philistine? Yes, and Saul, they run him away. That he's just a little boy, he must go away back into the field to look after his sheep. But he said, no, this is a cause. Is there not a cause? He said, is there not a cause? I am here. You know, he said, he went to Saul and he said, man, when the bear and the lions and stuff come to eat the sheep, he said, yes, he said he used his staff or whatever, or his slingshot, and he would damage the lions because of his sheep. He would damage the bears because of his sheep. And that's how That is how our good shepherd Jesus is protecting us in the field. That is how Jesus is protecting us. He's tearing up the lions and the Goliaths and all of them to protect us. Yes, whatever enemies that we face, our good shepherd Jesus Christ is fighting for us daily. You know, and that's good comfort. And when Saul said to David, say, okay, let him go out there, and he take his shield and his armor and put it onto David. He took his shield and his armor and put it onto David. Somebody followed from there. When he took his shield and his armor, put it onto David, what happened after that? Yeah, he wasn't accustomed to all those armors and stuff, that everything on him. He wasn't accustomed to all those shield and all of that. And he said, no, he's going out there, all he needs is just 5 smooth stone and a fling and a slingshot. He had a slingshot. And that did the magic. You know? Yeah, that did the magic. One shot from that slingshot and he came tumbling down. Yeah, and then he went over and used his own sword, Goliath's own sword, and cut off his head. Yes. Yes, he went over and used Goliath's own sword and cut off his head and carried to give Saul and whatever. Yeah, one shot and it taunted him, dropped him flat. Yes. Yes. A direct hit. The rock of Jesus. The stone of Jesus hit him, knock him out. Never revive again. Cut off his head. And overcame the enemy. And the battle won. Amen. Yes. Yes. What is the name that Jesus was sometimes called? That means my master or my teacher. I hear Messiah. Anybody else from Messiah? I hear Rabbi. Anybody else agree with Rabbi? Yeah, the question is, what is the name that Jesus was sometimes called? That means my master or my teacher. Rabbi. The answer is Rabbi. Yes, he was called Rabbi. Means a master or a teacher. Amen. On a mountainside, Jesus taught his disciples about being blessed. What do we call these teaching? It's from Matthew 5. Yes, those are the Beatitudes. And just to refresh us, it started with blessed. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that are persecuted. Blessed are they that, you know, the blessed, those are the Beatitudes. Amen. All right. Yes, so we're looking at God's plan of salvation. It's a perfect plan that God has for our salvation. And to introduce it, we want to say that God offers salvation to us, not through any religion or good work that you and I may do. Is not by our good work, but is by our profession. You know, our faith, but it's through faith. The mouth, we have to acknowledge it. We have to profess it, you know, in order to be saved. We must believe that Christ died for us. That's one. We have to believe that Christ died for us and that he rose again. Number two, we must receive the risen Savior by faith as our personal Savior. The risen Christ as our personal Savior. And we must publicly confess him as our Lord. It's not a private affair. It's a public record. You and I, salvation is not a private affair. It's a public record. You know, it's not something that we just seclude in and around our own being. It's supposed to be open. The word of God tells us that if we have a light, we cannot cover it underneath anything, underneath a bushel. We must let the light so shine before men. Yes, so it's a public, once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's public record. Yeah, it's supposed to be a public record, not no private affairs anymore. So you acknowledge him publicly. Amen. That is why when you go to church, they would have the altar call and you go up and accept Christ publicly. And that is why when you baptize, you don't baptize yourself. You baptize among a group of believers or a group. You baptize. You don't look and say, all right, you're going into the bathroom, now you're going to baptize. No, you don't baptize yourself, because baptism is a public record too. Yeah, you could just go down the river. If it was anything private, you could just go down the river, stand up in a bathroom and just dip yourself and say, yes, I'm baptized. But it's a public record. Just like your marriage to your spouse. Your marriage to your spouse is public. You can't just take a woman and you go in at the room and say, all right, from now on, you're my wife. No, it's public. You have to have witnesses. You have to have witnesses that witness the profession that you have made. You have to have somebody sign off on it and stuff. You know, so just like our salvation is a public record. Amen. So if you don't leave it anything today, leave it that when you accept Christ, you become a public record. It's a public record. Amen. Yes. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 27 verse 1 and also 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. That's Proverbs 27 and verse 1 and 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. You know, for the verse that we're going to based on is coming out of St. John chapter 1, 12 to 13. And it says that St. John chapter 1, 12 to 13, it said, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. And then we're going to look at Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Anyone there and like to read? Amen. Amen. Do not boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day, what can transpire between now and tomorrow. Also, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Amen. Amen. And said, I've heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That word succor means help. He has helped us. Amen. And question for you. When should one seek salvation according to those two scriptures? When should one seek salvation? Is an immediate yes. It's imperative. Yes, it's imperative. Yes, and I know this time of year, a lot of people making their New Year's resolution, and some people New Year's resolution, some of them would be like to a closer walk with God. Some of them would to give their life to God. Some of them would be like to get a better job. Some of them would be like to lose weight, to gain, Yes, there's a lot of New Year's resolution going up and going up at this time. And but this accepting Christ is salvation. Shouldn't be a New Year's resolution thing. It should be a now thing. Yeah, I shouldn't wait until the 1st of January for you to accept him. It's an immediate thing. You hear, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The moment you hear, today, you accept him, and he will fix whatever need to be fixed. He will fix it. All right. Let us look at Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and also Titus 3, verse 5. Titus 3, verse 5. And Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Amen. Amen. And then Titus 3, verse 5. And verse 5. Amen. So from those two verses that we just read, or three verses rather, that we just read, what is your answer to this question? Can we save ourselves by our own good works? No, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot. There is no such thing as purchase some salvation. Salvation is full and free. There is nothing that you and I need to do. It's all done. The only thing that we need to do is confess him as Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that Christ has raised him from the dead. Apart from that, there's no more blood that we need to shed, because the word of God tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remittance of sin. Blood have to be shed, and the blood of Jesus is a one-time shedding, one-time sacrifice. And so so all you and I need to do is just believe, accept what has happened. And just believe in our heart. Just believe. That's where salvation is now. Go ahead. All right. Yes. Someone want to have a go at it for me? Regeneration in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Someone want to go have a go at it? It reads, not by works of righteousness. Go ahead. Yes. 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 So yes. Yeah, so is a you coming into the faith? Yes. Amen. So you accepting Christ is a new birth, a new believer. You know, you are born again. Everyone got that? Yes. Yes, so that regeneration is a new birth, a new beginning. You know, you put off the old man. You put off the old man, and now you put on the new man, which is Christ. The old man is the old Adamic nature. The old sinful nature, Adamic nature coming from Adam. The old sinful nature. So you know, put off the old Adamic nature, and you put on a new nature in Christ Jesus. You are regenerated. You are resurrected. You are regenerated. You are resurrected from dead work unto live work. Yes, so you are now resurrected from dead work unto live work. You were once dead. You who were once dead in your trespasses and sin, and is now become alive in Christ. You are now regenerated. You are now become a part of the generation. You are now become a part of the generation of Christ. You know? Yes, you are now a part of Christ, family of God. Joint here with Jesus. Amen? Yes, so that's it right there. So we cannot save ourselves. That is why we need God's plan of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. Amen. And let us look to what Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3 verse 20. Romans 3 verse 20. Anyone there? Amen. So from that we see that we cannot be saved by keeping the law neither. We cannot be saved by keeping the law. It's because we couldn't. The law was like a schoolmaster to us. And we couldn't by ourselves keep the law. That is why God sent his perfect plan of salvation, Jesus Christ. We couldn't keep that law. You know, our forefathers, they tried to keep it. And every day they die. They die minutely, hourly. They were stoned to death. They were stoned to death. Because they could not keep the law. They could not. They tried. You know, but they could not. They could not. So we receive Jesus by grace, by faith. You know, accept his grace by faith. Amen. And let us look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Yes. Proverbs, Old Testament. Yes, so there are two things, according to that scripture, there are two things that we need to do with our sins. There are two things that we need to do with our sins. One, we need to do what? Confess it. And number two, and forsake it. Yeah, so we need to confess, not only confess, but also to forsake it. You know? Yes, so we do not get the mercy of God by just confessing. But when we forsake it, that means we is a turnaround. You were going one way down this road, you confess it and you turn around. A complete turnaround. Don't bother to go back down that road. You know, so you forsake it. Forsake your sins and confess it. Amen. And according to 1 John 1 and verse 9, 1 John 1 and verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, so number one, we see he will forgive our sins if we confess it. He will forgive it and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. So what if after you confess your sins and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, tomorrow you sin again? What happened then? Back to the throne of grace. And confess. Yes. So if you ask for forgiveness today, you get your forgiveness by faith, and he cleanses you from all your unrighteousness, and then tomorrow you fall short and you sin again, what should you do? Ask for forgiveness. Because we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. Yes. Yes. Yes, that is why. Yes, that is why John, in 1 John, John said that, "My little children, I write unto you that." What he said, if that you may sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Yeah. So we should not just lay down in a pity party and say, okay, I asked for forgiveness yesterday and I sinned today, so I'm just going to stay in this sin and wallow. No. Go back to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. The word of God says, go back to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in times of great need. You know, so go back as often as you need to. You know, go back. And that doesn't give you a license. That doesn't give you a license to sin, because you know that when you go to the throne of grace, you're going to be forgiven. That doesn't give us license. What? In the book of Romans, Paul was writing to the church in Rome, in Romans, he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answered this question and said, God forbid. How can we who are being dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, he said, God forbid. He said, not because the viler the sinner, the richer the blood, we must continue to wallow up in sin. And not, yes, and let me clarify something for us as children of God too. Don't follow people's testimony as a guideline for your walk with God. Develop your own testimony as you go along. Don't look at people's testimony and try to walk in the footsteps of that person's testimony. You know why it's called a testimony? Yeah, you know why it's called a testimony? They have been tested and tried, and they came through victoriously. And credit to Almighty God. No credit to themselves, but credit to Almighty God. So not because a person testify and say they were doing 120 miles down the highway and God so graciously saved them from a speed trap or accident or whatever. You must go down there, go do 120 miles on the highway too. Not because a person testify and say they once used to drink rum and used to do that, and God graciously saved them from the rum drinking and take them from that habit. That doesn't mean to say you must go down to go drink that rum too, because such and such that drink rum and God see. No, that's out of order. You know, so yes, don't look at another person's testimony and try to fit yourself in the equation. You cannot wear that person's shoes. That person's shoes cannot fit you. It won't work. It won't work on you. So as we walk with God through sanctification, a progressive walk with Him, as we walk with Him, we are sanctified as we walk with Him. If you realize that you're falling short in one area, don't continue going down that area at all times. Try to change your route. Try to do something different. Yeah, try to change something different, because you recognize that anytime you go that place, you fall into temptation and you sin. Don't continue going back there. Change your route. Change course. You know, so yes. I don't say that sometimes you have fallen the same track from time to time. But when you consider that you're continually, habitually doing the same thing over and over, try to change something. Don't continue down that route continuously. You know? Yes, don't continue down that route. Try to change. Break up your folly ground and yes. You know? Yes, so it cleanses us. When we ask, when we confess our sins, we are cleansed and we are forgiven. But if we fall short again, never you shy away from the throne of grace. Always go back there. You know, always go back there. You know, yet you don't want to forget. And from time to time in our Christian journey, no matter if you're a prophet or a priest or a pastor or whatever you are, from time to time we have to go back to Calvary. You know, we as Christians, we are not exempt from Calvary. Calvary is not only for the unbelievers that is coming to Christ, but Calvary is our ground that we must become familiar with as Christians. It's not a one-time shot. It's an everyday thing. Lead you back to Calvary, lest you forget what Christ has done for you. Lead you back. Let Him lead you back to Calvary. Let you see, you know, let you see the blood flow all over again. All that He has done for you. All that He has done for you and I. The five bleeding wounds that He bore, one in each hand, one in each foot, and one through His side. Those are the five bleeding wounds. They strongly plead. The songwriter said they strongly plead for us. Forgive us, oh forgive us. You know, so it's not a one-time thing, but we should live a sanctified life, a progressive sanctified life as Christians. You know, we should not... We should not think that we have accomplished, because we have never accomplished anything. You know, it's through God's grace and mercy why we stand. We have not yet accomplished. When we can say like Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I have kept the faith. You know, when we can say like that. When we can say we have fought a good fight, we have kept the faith, you know, we have finished the course, and hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all those who are waiting for His glorious appearance. You know, until then, our heart should go on singing. Until then, our heart should go on praying. Until then, we should visit Calvary. And an often time we should visit Calvary. Until then, you know, so because we have never You have never achieved until when you have reached that part. You have reached the finish line. You know, so as we journey along, encourage each other. Be steadfast in the word of Almighty God, always abounding. Get your strength from the word. Get your strength from Him Himself. He is the word, Christ. And Christ is solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And yes, so as we close today, I just want to encourage you all to just be persistent. Be persistent. You know, always seek for more. Never you get too comfortable or too complacent in the situation that you are in, or with your position in Christendom. Always seek for more, because there are always higher heights and deeper depths in Him. He is infinite. The God that we worship is infinite. There is no cap on His possibility and the possibility that exists when we see the Lord. You know, there is no cap on it. So always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always seek to elevate ourselves more and more. You know, more and more, more and more. It's endless. It's an endless possibility where you and I can reach in Christ. And so let's just continue to press forward. Every day is a new press. Every day is a new fight. Every day is a new journey. Begin each day with Christ and end each day with Christ. He is the solid rock on which we stand. Amen. Anybody have anything to share as we close? Anybody have any testimony? Anything God has been doing for you and you want to share it with us to encourage us? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, we have to have our own armor. We have to have our own prior life. We have to hold our own confession. So, yes, so your mother, or your father cannot save you. Not because your mother or your father is a Christian. Not because you have a relative who is a Christian or a friend who is a Christian. That person cannot save you. So even though you will run it from when you get into trouble, or when you find yourself in some hot water as an unsaved, and you run to whichever family member you have or whichever person that you know is a Christian and they pray for you, and you might leave feeling better, or you might leave having the victory, but that can't get you into heaven unless you have a personal prior life, a personal situation. You know, you got to be saved. Is an individual thing. It's not collective. Salvation is not a collective thing. It's an individual thing. You know, it's an individual thing. You know, you can have a church load of people with 5,000 and you in there. And after the altar call, maybe it's only 5 person saved. It's not everybody. It's an individual thing. Amen. Yes, so just want to encourage us to personalize Christ as you walk with him. Personalize him. Call him for you, God. He's for you. Yes, call him for you. Yes, man. Personalize him. Accept him as a personal God. No. You know, he's going to let him receive the blessing from him individually. You know, claim it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we are 5 minutes past the hour. Let us close off in prayer. Amen. Yeah, let us close off. Yes, Lord, we honor you and we glorify you. We thank you, mighty God, for your word. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing heart and the mind, the marrow, the soul, everything, mighty God. We thank you, Lord, that you dwell in us by faith. We thank you that because you live, we can face today, tomorrow, and always. You hold our hands. We thank you, mighty God, that no temptation has taken us, but such as is common to man. But you are faithful, who will never cause us to be tempted above which you are able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape. We thank you, mighty God, that as we walk with you in the light of your word, that you shine a light upon us, mighty God, that lighten our pathway. We thank you, mighty God, that you are our burden bearer. And as we look to you by faith, mighty God, we thank you that you are our very present help in time of trouble. Oh, how we bless your name. Oh, how we praise you for who you are, mighty God. You are our hiding place. You shield us, mighty God. You direct our path. Yes, mighty God, you crown us with righteousness. Lord God, we thank you that we are pilgrim as we go through, mighty God. We are not our own, but we belong to you, mighty God. And as we trod upon this dry land, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that our provision is sure. We thank you, mighty God, that our healing is in your hand. We thank you, mighty God, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from you, the Father of light, that giveth unto all men liberally. We thank you, Lord, that our promotion is not from the east nor from the west, but our promotion comes from you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you have the final say over our lives. We thank you, mighty God, that it doesn't matter the noise, it doesn't matter what the outside forces says, but what you say, mighty God, settles it. What you say, mighty God, our heart, our life is built on it, mighty God, upon your blood, upon your righteousness. Yes, mighty God, we thank you that is in you that we find peace. A peace, mighty God, that passeth all understanding, that will keep our hearts and mind in tune with you. Lord, we thank you. We cannot express, oh God, ourselves at times to give you the gratitude that we need to give you. But in our infinite mind, mighty God, in our finite minds, Lord God, with our limited vocabulary, we just want to say we love you. We just want to say, mighty God, we need you more and more every hour. We need you, mighty God. We cannot do without you as a people. And so even now, mighty God, we pray that your blood, Lord, will scatter abroad in our circumstances right now, Lord, to lift every weight in the name of Jesus, that you will change our circumstances. Yes, mighty God, that you will come into our situation and you will make the difference that we are needing in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray for spiritual growth. We pray, mighty God, that you will lead us by your hand, that you will guide us, mighty God, that you will cause us to overcome every hurdles and every obstacles in our way. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we pray, mighty God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against us is condemned. Lord God, I pray for every home that is represented here tonight, every family that is represented here tonight, mighty God. I pray, God, that you cover, yes, mighty God, that you'll cover us, in the name of Jesus, that you will protect us from every harm and every danger. In the name of Jesus, fly every trap that the enemy will set in the path. In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord, I pray that you will light up every shadow, tear down every darkness. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you will come, yes, Lord, and make your abode with us in a very special way. Mighty God, I pray that where they need healing, that you will come with healing. Where they need provision, that there will come provision. Yes, mighty God, security. Everything that we need, Lord God, is in you, mighty God. Because everything, yes, Lord, that we need to keep us is in you, Christ Jesus. And so, Lord God, we accept nothing. We accept nothing from this world. We accept nothing from the enemy. But, Lord God, we just accept everything that is from you. So guide us now, O great Jehovah, as we pilgrim through this barren land. We are weak, but you are strong. Hold us, mighty God, with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, just feed us till we want no more. Feed us, mighty God. Fill our cup. Let it overflow, mighty God. Lord God, as we go into the new year, as we go into 2025, Lord God, I pray, mighty God, that you will overshadow us with your divine grace and mercy, and you will give us, mighty God, a provision that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over, mighty God. I pray for abundance. As we embrace this new year, mighty God, I pray for abundance. I pray, mighty God, that you will guide us, guide our step all the way, mighty God. Guide us and lead us. Yes, mighty God, I come against every accident. I come against every danger. I come against every foul play. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will shield us, mighty God, that you will defend us and protect us. I pray for a new beginning in the name of Jesus. I pray for a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I pray that no sickness will follow us into the new year, mighty God. We leave every pain in 2024. We leave, mighty God, every sadness in 2024. We leave, mighty God, everything that is unlike you, we leave it behind, mighty God, and we embrace 2025, knowing, mighty God, and we declare that this is the year of Jubilee, mighty God, the year, mighty God, that we're going to take back what the canker worms and the farmer worms has taken away from us. We're going to take back our joy in the name of Jesus. We're going to take back our peace in the name of Jesus. We're going to take back our children in the name of Jesus. We're going to take back, yes, mighty God, all that the enemy has stolen from us. We come against every fiery dart of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We pluck down, we tear down, we dismantle, mighty God, every cycle. Yes, mighty God, every cycle that the enemy would have us in, we tear down every cycle in the name of Jesus. We break loose from every cycle. We break loose, mighty God, from poverty, living after from paycheck to paycheck. We break loose, mighty God, of that. We break loose, mighty God, of every cycle of sickness. We break loose of every cycle of pain. We break loose from every cycle, mighty God. Yes, Lord, that would cause, yes, mighty God, us to be sad from time to time, and we claim happiness. Yes, mighty God, the joy of the Lord. We claim the joy of the Lord to be our strength, mighty God, our shield and our defense. In the name of Jesus, we refuse to believe the lies of the enemy this year, mighty God. We embrace the truth of the cross, Lord. We stand, yes, mighty God, because you lift us up from the miry clay. You have plant our feet on the rock to stay. We thank you, mighty God, that you are our bridge over troubled water. You are our rescuer. We thank you, mighty God, that in you we live and move and have our being, because we have your offspring. Yes, mighty God, we are joint here with Jesus. We confess you, mighty God, as Lord of our lives. We confess you, mighty God, as Lord of our soul. We confess you, mighty God, as the mighty King. Yes, Lord, who deliver us again and again. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, we just rest assured in your amazing grace. We just rest assured, Lord God, that you are the one who keep us from falling. Yes, Lord, you are the one who keep us from falling and present us before your throne with exceeding joy. The great high priest, the God of all ages, the one who cleft for us, the one who we are hiding in. Yes, mighty God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may even ask or think, according to the power of God that work in us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and for the glory of Almighty God. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. Greet somebody. Greet somebody in the name of Jesus as you go. As you go, greet somebody. You know, and Happy New Year's when it comes. Prosperous. Make the yes, Happy New Year's when it comes. Amen. Yes. Good night, good night. This is the last studies for this for 2024. When we meet again, God's willing, it will be 2025. Amen. Yes, so God be with you until we meet again. Amen. Yes. Night, 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 night. Amen. Amen.